Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
You know, it seems every day there's a new issue regarding sexual orientation, gender identity, the LGBTQ, and whatever initials you want to put with it, agenda is going on in every state. Today, we're going to specifically talk about something that's going on in Jacksonville, Florida. This is Faith and Freedom. I'm Holly Mee, the Director of Communications for Liberty Counsel. And joining me is Matt Barber, founder of barbwire.com. Matt, it just seems like we're continually talking about these issues every day.
Yes, we are. And we have a Liberty Counsel expert with us today to talk specifically about the issue going on in Jacksonville, Florida. This is an ongoing issue, as you mentioned, Holly, all around the country.
Right.
But right now, Liberty Counsel is honing in like a laser beam on Jacksonville, Florida, where Roger Ganim. And Roger, what's your position with Liberty Counsel?
Assistant Vice President for Legal Affairs.
All right. Well, Roger, you're taking the lead on this. Tell us what's going on in Jacksonville.
Jacksonville, which is where I'm from, where I lived before I joined Liberty Counsel, has been fighting to turn back one of these sexual orientation, gender identity laws, or SOGI laws, since 2012. And back then, we opposed the law and succeeded in defeating it. It came back again last year, and now it's back for a third time, failing on the two prior occasions. But this law seeks to make gender identity and sexual orientation new categories in Jacksonville's non-discrimination law, much like we've seen around other big cities in the state of Florida and even some states in the country. But even though it's a city of Jacksonville issue, it's really a national issue. And we know that because when this came up again last year, the Human Rights Campaign, fresh off of their stunning defeat in Houston, sent 7 full-time lobbyists to Jacksonville to help elect the right city council members for their cause, and then to try to get this law pushed through. Thankfully, we turned it back, but it's back again with a vengeance.
You know, I've heard that various cities in Florida are ranked according to their friendliness toward LGBTQ agenda. Do you see that in Jacksonville as being high rated?
Well, you know, it's funny. The New York Times put out an article and unwittingly helped us in our cause a year ago because Jacksonville actually has the highest per capita LGBT population in the state, even though it's the only large city in the state that doesn't have this kind of ordinance. And it really proves our point. Time and again, the proponents of these laws say, you need this for your economy. And time and again, the evidence shows exactly the opposite.
Well, beyond that, Roger, there must be, I mean, if they're trying to push this ordinance in Jacksonville, there must be just a spate of instances of discrimination against homosexuals and transgender individuals. And of course, I'm being facetious. Of course, there's not. Anytime there's anything that they can remotely couch as discrimination, it becomes a front page national story. So if these laws are not necessary, which they're not, what possible purpose could there be? Is there a hidden purpose behind these SOGI laws beyond actually trying to protect so-called gay rights?
That's a great question, and you're absolutely right. We've been demanding evidence of the discrimination problem in Jacksonville since 2012, and of course, it's never materialized. So this time around, they're not even trying to make the argument. They're simply arguing that for economic reasons, in order to attract the best businesses and the best people to Jacksonville, you need this ordinance. And we always point out the evidence to the contrary that shows that LGBT people move to cities for the same reasons everyone else does.
Right.
Economy, schools,
it's
weather,
safe.
Safety.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And the data also show that laws like this don't move the needle on economic success. Jacksonville has had a thriving economy, which is funny. It really began after defeating this ordinance in 2012 and has never looked back. So the argument, it really is a case of misinformation and intimidation. We've all heard of the Human Rights Campaign and their Equality Index. It's really just an activism index, but they use this as a club to beat over the heads of big businesses by telling them, if you want to rank highly in our index, you're going to be active in your community pushing the LGBT agenda. And many so-called conservatives in Jacksonville and around the country have bought into this. And I think it's a matter of not wanting anyone to say something bad about them for not supporting these laws. And so they sign on to support them fully, and they repeat the myth, and it's really a lie, that this law is necessary for a good economy. We know it's not necessary to solve any kind of discrimination problem because that doesn't exist.
No, Roger, would this involve like the bathroom issue, opening up, say, men's bathrooms to women and vice versa? So I can't see that as helping the economy. If anything, that would make women want to stay away because there's safety issues there, as we talk about all the time, and common sense issues. So I don't see how they can argue that that's good for the economy in Jacksonville.
I agree. And, you know, the message that really resonated in Houston was no men in women's bathrooms. And that's exactly the same case in Jacksonville facing this law. It would simply require businesses to open up their women's facilities to men who simply claim to be a woman. There's really no way for a business to police that, to determine whether that man has a sincere motive, who really believes he's a woman, or if it's a predator or a pervert who simply wants to gain access to that women's facility for voyeurism or an attack or something even worse. So this bathroom issue is a huge issue. Every parent I talk to in Jacksonville is concerned, especially parents of daughters.
I mean, Matt, you could speak to that for sure, right?
Oh, absolutely. I have two preteen daughter and a teen daughter, and I'll tell you, this is an issue that has people concerned all over the country, especially with the previous administration, Barack Obama, trying to ram it through executive fiat. But Roger, I want to ask you this. Experientially, from a practical standpoint, we have seen these ordinances used around the country not to protect or as a panacea against discrimination, but we've seen these ordinances used to do exactly what they purport to prevent. They're used to discriminate against people, folks who have traditional values, who have embraced the biblical model of human sexuality, the baker, the florist, the innkeeper, the wedding planner, the photographer, and so forth. So my perspective is that the agenda is furtive. It's based on disinformation, that it's not really a defensive or a firewall to protect so-called LGBT people from being discriminated against, because that's just not happening. Anytime anything remotely close that could be construed or called discrimination, like I said, it becomes a front page story. So it's being used as a hammer to bludgeon individuals, to ruin them financially, reputationally. Am I right? I mean, that my perspective is that this is actually the true intent is one of anti-Christian purposes more than anything else.
That's absolutely right. The goal of these laws and the effect of these laws is to silence opposition to the LGBT agenda. With the threat of fines, even imprisonment for violating one of these ordinances, you know, what business owner wants to risk that? And the result is business owners are forced to not only police their own speech in favor of radical ideas like traditional marriage or that men and women are actually men and women, but they have to also think about policing the speech of their employees, the speech of their customers even, to avoid being accused of discrimination. And not only do businesses face liability, but individual managers face personal liability. Individual owners face personal bankruptcy if they're tagged with one of these discrimination complaints. And that just should really be unacceptable to everyone. You know, it's really interesting. A similar case that occurred in Ireland, there was the Asher's Bakery. A nice young couple ran a bakery that refused to bake a cake and then decorate it with a message in favor of gay marriage. And for whatever reason, the public opinion began on the side of the LGBT activists, but it ended on the side of the bakers, because after they went all the way through their court appeals and lost, the community there seemed to recognize it's just wrong to force someone to violate their conscience in order to have a business. And I'm hopeful, and want to some extent, that maybe we can see a shift of public opinion. Maybe, regardless of how President Trump personally feels about these issues, his election certainly seems to have emboldened conservatives to speak up about things like this. And I'm hopeful that we have an opportunity here to change the culture and influence the culture's opinion about these issues. Because, frankly, many business owners have had enough of the intimidation and being scared just to live out their faith in their daily life.
Well, thank you, Roger, so much for sharing. And we will continue to stay informed with what's going on in Jacksonville. Please pray for this issue, as there are many families that are concerned about what's going on. Continue to stay informed at Liberty Council at our website, lc.org. We rely on your prayerful support, as we do represent our clients pro bono. We've had the privilege to represent Sandra Merritt. She was one of the journalists who unveiled the undercover videos that revealed that Planned Parenthood is making huge profits of selling human baby body part. So it's so important to know the truth. Please stay informed and involved at Liberty Council's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Council. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Council's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Council and make a difference in your community and across the nation. Visit Liberty Council's website at lc.org. Call us at 407-875-1776. The website again, lc.org.